Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Numbers 162 to 209. MR Number 162, The Work in England. I have been unable to sleep much during the past night. I have thought of the church at Kettering, which must be left much of the time without preaching. But it is the duty of those connected with the church to feel an individual responsibility to do to their utmost ability to strengthen the church and make the meetings so interesting that outsiders or unbelievers will be attracted to your meetings. Nothing can weaken a church so manifestly as division and strife, and if this does exist, nothing can so war against the truth and against Jesus Christ as this spirit. By their fruits ye shall know them. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. James 3, verse 11 to 13. Now let not anyone place himself as having great wisdom and ability. But if he have these talents, he will not be the one to make them the most prominent, for it is those who have the most distrust of self, who have no special confidence in their own ability, whom God will use as his willing instruments. These will show by their conversation that they have been communing with God, and that they have been receiving of the lessons Christ has taught to all, who would teach them meekness and lowliness of heart. But with most exalted views of Jesus, filled with his love, the words of wisdom will flow forth from the soul in words that will stir their hearts. His works are made manifest, not by pompous words of self-praise, but in the very opposite, in meekness of wisdom. These have no words to demerit others, but a very humble opinion of themselves, because they have had a more clear and well-defined view of Jesus, of his holy character, his self-denial, his self-sacrifice, and his holy mission. When men have these views of Jesus, they always have very humble views of themselves. It is when men lose sight of Jesus, his purity, his spotless perfection, that they lift up themselves and are self-sufficient, self-inflated, and if others do not give them all that deference and respect that they think they should have, they are uneasy, unsatisfied, think themselves ill-used and unappreciated. They reveal their true character in an unmistakable manner, showing their defects in fault-finding, complaining, ready to combat anything that does not meet their mind, even when assembled to worship God. If they had wisdom, they could see the influence and result of their unchristlike course. But, blinded with self-importance, they do not discern their weakness and manifest to all that they cannot be trusted. Neither will they bear to be estimated as they estimate themselves. These will go through the world doing but very little good, boisterous and obtrusive, pushing themselves to the front, and thus, by their want of wisdom, demerit the truth and misrepresent in every way the religion of Jesus Christ. They, in the place of bringing souls to Christ, disgust them and turn them away from the truth. They are lost because of the want of Christian grace to lead them to take a course of meekness and lowliness, as did Christ. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. If I should say these words of myself, how many would say, Sister White has a hard spirit, she does not understand me. But God understands you, and he plainly says that if you have envying and strife, you need not glory, calling it a Christian boldness, for it is not of God, but of the devil. Although you profess to believe the truth, your judgment may assent to the truth, but if you have not the truth as it is in Jesus, you can present it only in your way, with your manner, and your very words and appearance show that you have not brought the truth into your life and woven it into your character, but tied the truth onto the tree that bears thorn berries. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. I want you all to mark the fruits here stated, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Are there any of the church who are not easy to be entreated, who will argue for their own way, who will, in self-confidence, hold to their own ideas and not give them up, but will talk as though they were the only ones whose ways were perfect and unquestionable? These are not easily entreated because they are not converted. They are not divested of self. They are full of self-esteem and are sure to disgust unbelievers with their words and ways in talking the objectionable features of our faith, in all proud boasting and self-confidence. By their fruits ye shall know them, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In the small meetings of our people, there is danger of killing the interest of the meetings by imprudence. Let there be no long prayers. Save your long prayers for the closet. Let not your prayers be all over the world. Pray right to the point, for the blessing of God upon yourself and those assembled then and there. When you pray alone in your closet, then lay out before God all the burden of your heart. But in the assembly met to worship God, such prayers are all out of place. They kill the interest of the meetings and make them tedious. Look at the sample prayer given by Christ to his disciples. How brief, how comprehensive that prayer. When approaching God, pray briefly, in simplicity. Do not dishonor God by your oratorical prayers, or by preaching the Lord a sermon in your prayers, but come to God in your soul need and just tell him what you want, as a child comes to an earthly parent, and trust your heavenly Father as a child trusts its earthly parent. When the meeting is carried on in the absence of the minister, let one take the lead, but not devote long time to sermonizing. Just speak the words in the Spirit and in the love of Jesus, and thus set an example for others, that no one shall talk words for the sake of talking and killing the time. Let each work a part in diligently presenting the experience of the soul. Let them state their own individual experience, their soul struggles, the victories obtained. Above everything, let them offer to God a tribute of praise from a thankful heart that Jesus has died for them. Here is subject matter that each may dwell upon with profit. It is the duty of all to feel that they must contribute a part to the life and soul of the meeting. Do this, and the blessing of God will come into your midst in large measure. 39, 1887, pages 1 to 4. Special Testimony to a Church in North England Conference, July 23, 1887. A Parting Message to Laborers in Europe and Especially England, City of Rome, Atlantic Ocean, August 6, 1887. Dear Brethren in Europe, we have been connected with you in labor for 2 years. We have realized much of the blessing of God as we have labored in Switzerland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Italy, Germany, and England. We have seen that the work is advancing slowly. France and Italy have been the most unpromising fields. England has not had much labor. There has been something done, but to a very limited degree, and as we have seen the large cities in which no labor has been put forth, we have known that a much greater work is to be accomplished than has yet been accomplished for the cities of England. As yet, the light seems to have been kept under a bushel. It has not been placed on a candlestick where it could give light to all that are in the house. At the present time, the outlook is not the most encouraging. Many missions have been opened, but the means were too limited to sustain them, and the mission workers were too few and too inefficient to engage in the work. Will the Lord give wisdom to his servants is my most earnest prayer. The Lord has abundant facilities in men and means, but the means is concentrated in building many institutions in certain localities in America. Building is added to building, house to house, and land to land, but the Lord does not favor this state of things. His great heart of infinite love is not all concentrated on certain localities to multiply agencies for the salvation of men in one place, while other places are left in destitution. The Lord has presented the matter before me in clear lines. The publishing interest should not have been removed from Southampton to Grimsby, but should have remained in that important place, where greater character would have been given to the work, until it could have been removed to London. That large city needs 100 workers, and then the workers would scarcely be in touch one with another if their fields were located in different parts. Our brethren in America must have the matter kept before them that men and means are needed for Europe and for regions beyond. Our brethren in this country need the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, such as the disciples had on the day of Pentecost, in order that they may have an eye single to discern not only the things that are nigh, but fields that are afar off. When they see as God seeth, they will plan and devise and work altogether more disinterestedly and have a deep realization of the fact that the field for the gospel work is the world. What shall we do for London? London has received too little attention. That which has been done by Elder Jones, the Seventh-day Baptist, in advocating the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment has amounted to very little. And as long as he works in the lines in which he is now working, his work will amount to still less. The truth, the present truth, the truth for this time, is what is needed in London. We should enter the great cities with the message of God's truth. But without means or workers, we have a most discouraging outlook for work of this kind. But if the work is not entered upon when circumstances look forbidding, it will never be accomplished. There must be far less mincing about the matter, and far greater firmness, assurance, and faith. Sound the note of warning. Come, for all things are now ready. In the time in which we are living, skepticism, infidelity, speculation, and Pharisaism abound to divert the mind from the vital questions at issue. False reports, false representations of character, calumny, and every species of reproach will be originated by the great deceiver to throw discredit upon the word of God and those who advocate it. But what voice shall say, "Quit the field, it costs too much in time, and calls for too great an outlay of means, and is a hard and unprofitable field"? Oh, never let this voice call you away from the work. Among the American brethren, we see that which pains our hearts. Self-indulgence abounds in the church, and the world finds large patronage from its members because self-denial is not practiced. Money is expended for unnecessary things, and we know that this means the limiting of donations, which should be applied to the great enterprise of building up the kingdom of Christ in our world. As the world advances and converts the church to its customs and to its fashions, and leads the professed follower of Christ to indulge in its gratifications, the treasury of God is robbed in the withholding of tithes and offerings that should be given that there may be meat in mine house. The indolence that is seen in the churches and among those who claim to believe the truth brings its curse of results, which are represented in the parable of the slothful servant who buried his talent in the earth and misrepresented his Lord who had loaned him the talent for wise improvement. Oh, that all who have an intelligent knowledge of the truth would realize that their talents are loaned them of God to be improved by trading upon the Lord's goods. Those who put the Lord's money out to the exchangers will receive divine commendation. Suppose those who enter the field do meet with opposition. They will be but strengthened if they work in Christ's lines, and if they have but one talent to begin with, it will not always remain one, but will become two. Then, if the two are faithfully used, the talents will again be doubled, for heavenly wisdom will be imparted to the humble soul who walks by faith, imparting light under the most discouraging circumstances. He who handles the Lord's goods as faithfully in trading upon pence as upon pounds will bring a large revenue into the Lord's treasury. Every missionary who goes forth seeking to do his best will have the support of one who will supply all his necessities. The great master workman will not leave him to want. The missionary's only business is to receive orders from God and to obey the orders given. Souls are to be sought for, and the truth is to be presented to men in its simplicity. Missionaries are not to study English rules, customs, or practices, but they are to make everything according to the pattern shown to them in the Mount. As certainly as our workers do not bring a new, divine element into their work, that will be like leaven put into the meal, they might as well quit the field. Let missionaries do their best to follow the great exemplar. We are years behind. Let the missionaries obey orders from their great captain and put life and energy into the work. God will give the power of His Holy Spirit. The fields in Europe do not require so great a change in the manner of working from the way in which the work is done in America, as they require an element of energy and renovation that will surprise and startle the people from their sleepy lethargy. They need the quickening, vitalizing power of the Holy Spirit, which will alone be efficient and will speed the work in rapid movements. The Lord is not asleep, if England is. The Lord will give success to His work when His workers arouse to the emergency of the situation. Tares were sown among the wheat while men slept, and unless there is an earnest pushing forward of the work, it will never assume the proportions that God designed it should assume. London is an important point, and throughout England, the cities are not to be neglected. God will move upon agents, God will work, and His power will be revealed if men will cooperate with Him. Where are the men, where are the women, who will give themselves entirely to the work? We need the converting power of God every day. Old habits of precision, of moving in a certain groove, will have to be changed. Old customs and habits that have long been cherished and idolized will have to be broken up. Men will have to experience a daily conversion in order that they may be working agents who can be molded and fashioned as clay is molded and fashioned by the hands of the potter. Workers are to learn daily lessons in the school of Christ, for it is not your mold that God would have upon the characters of the church members. Give God a chance to impress minds and to place His mold upon the character and upon the church. We are to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, in order that by beholding we may become changed into His image from character to character. We are not always to retain the same mold of character, but more and more to reflect the image of Jesus, that we may lead men away from self and out of self to become one with Christ. Ye are complete in Him. Our completeness is in Jesus Christ. He is our pattern. I am sorry I could not have done more labor in England. We long to see the work make more rapid strides because we know it can and should. I am setting the wants of Europe before our people. I know that some will feel the burden and others will do nothing, although they can do much. Asleep, asleep on the very verge of eternity. Counsel regarding the work in England. This communication addressed to Elder Wagoner was intended for wider reading, for it closes with the words, "I send this to you, Elder Wagoner, for you to make use of it as you shall deem fit. I understand that you are to labor in England. This country has been presented to me several times as a field that required men who will not fail nor be discouraged, men who will cooperate with the heavenly intelligences. But I saw that one great hindrance to the advancement of the work has been, and will be, that those placed in position of trust feel that of themselves they could manage the work, that they have ability and they want to sway everything their way. Among the workers, there is much of self that lives and refuses to die. Now this self wants the supremacy, but if it is allowed to rule, the work will be marred, losses will occur, and there will be a revealing of self in management, and mistakes will be made. Not all who take hold of the work will be of the same temperament. They will not be men of the same education or training, and they will just as surely work at cross purposes as they are different in character, unless they are daily converted men. Every day Satan has his plans to carry out, certain lines that will hedge up the way of those who are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now, unless the living human agents for Jesus are humble, meek, and lowly of heart because they have learned of Jesus, they will just as surely fall under temptation as they live. For Satan is watching and artful and subtle, and the workers, if not prayerful, will be taken unawares. He steals upon them as a thief in the night and makes them captives. Then he works upon the minds of individuals to pervert their individuals' ideas and frame their plans. And if brethren see danger and speak of it, they feel that a personal injury is done them, that someone is trying to weaken their influence. One draws one way and another in an opposite direction. The work has been bound about, false moves have been made, and Satan has been pleased. If self had not been so carefully, tenderly cherished, lest it should not find room enough to preserve its native dignity, the Lord could have used these differently constituted characters to do a good work and much larger. For in their diversity of talent, yet unity in Christ was the power of their usefulness. If, like the diverse branches of the vine, they were centered in the vine stock, all would bear the rich clusters of precious fruit. There would be perfect harmony in their diversity, for they are partakers of the nourishment and fatness of the vine. The Lord is displeased with the want of harmony that has existed among the workers. He cannot impart His Holy Spirit, for they are bent on having their own way, and the Lord presents to them His way. Great discouragement will come in from Satan and his confederacy of evil. But all ye are brethren, and it is an offense to God when you allow your individual, unsanctified traits of character to be active agencies to discourage one another. Now the Lord would have all closely united together in the bands of love, each seeking to help the other into courage and hopefulness and perseverance in the work. There has been a spirit of childish emulation and strife. But we are to be no more children, tossed to and fro. We are in an earnest battle. The foes are many and strong, and determined to defeat us. And if the workers do not have special help from the heavenly agencies, they will not be victorious. You are individually to put your strong wills on the side of God's will. You are God's servants. You are to have the eye single, looking unto Jesus for His orders, for Christ is your captain. Your cherished, pet ways may be very dear to you, but valueless in the sight of God, for they are constantly getting in the way of His plans and interfering with His designs. Let every worker be clothed with humility, and be sure that he worships God in spirit and in truth, and does not bow down to his own idol, self. Brethren in the English field, I tell you in the fear of God, you have lessons to learn in the school of Christ that are not at all flattering to the opinions which you cherish of yourselves. God calls upon you as His representatives to be a united whole, cooperating with the heavenly intelligences, and among yourselves to be of one mind, sanctified through the truth, pure and without guile. As there are divisions everywhere in society, the Lord Jesus would have the unity of His workers appear in marked contrast to the divisions. In unity there is strength, in division there is weakness. In seeking to answer the prayer of Christ, that His disciples may be one, you are making manifest to the world that power and principles of truth, and thus increasing their influence in the world. Ye are the light of the world. Listen to the prayer of Christ, that all His disciples may be one, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Diverse in mind, in ideas, one subject is to bind heart to heart, the conversion of souls to the truth, which draws all to the cross. All should be working to the utmost of their ability to win souls to Christ. You are not to criticize one another, but love as brethren. You are not to feel hurt, because every plan is carefully considered from end to end. But much more progress might have been made if there had not been undue caution, which let opportunities slip by unimproved, putting off a work which needed to be done then and there for some future time, because you feared you were not quite ready. You must be minutemen, all the time watching to make an aggressive movement, and not let the enemy preoccupy the field before you are ready to act. This slowness to advance is not in the order of God, for Satan presses in himself and hedges up the way, or he will make it very hard when you decide to act. There is need of zeal in the church, and wisdom to manage that zeal. You have made altogether too tame work of saving souls. If you see a work done in London and the surrounding cities, you must have a united, irresistible force. Press the battle to the gate and plant the standard firmly, as if you meant that the truth should triumph. The timidity, the cautious movements, have been faithless. There has been little expectation of results. Will the workers now submerge self in Jesus? Let not self appear, but lift up Jesus. With the fire of God's love burning upon the altar of your hearts, melt down the barriers and make every advance move that is possible. But bear in mind that you are only God's agents. All your works, all your means, are of little account unless you are imbued with the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit must mold and fashion the workers. I wish I could make all understand this matter. The union of the workers must be complete, and there must be a real earnestness and an inspiration from God to teach them how to win souls to Christ. Thank God that some advancement has been made, but if the workers had been united in love and in faith, there would have been a marked progress that does not now appear. The fact that things move slowly in England is no reason why the great missionary work shall move slowly to meet men's habits and customs for fear of surprising the people. They need to be much more surprised than they have hitherto been. The Lord's business requires haste. Souls are perishing without a knowledge of the truth. But those who are engaged in the work cannot have success if they move in their own spirit. Their lips must be touched with a live coal from off the altar. They must be imbued with the Holy Spirit. They have no right to go forth and take hold of the work unless they first meet with Christ in the closet. Whatever the character of the duties may be, none must bring their own spirit into the work. God would have the workers in England derive their efficiency from Him. Then every worker may feel that his hand is upon a lever that will move the world. Moses, descending from the holy mount, his face glorified by communion with God. The high priest reappearing from within the Holy of Holies. Isaiah, fresh from beholding the Lord high and lifted up, the train of His glory filling the temple, never came to the people with truth greater or more precious than that which as messengers of God we have to bear to the people, the doctrine of the cross, the imputed righteousness of Christ. This comes to the people not in word only, but in the power of God to everyone that believeth. Man becomes a co-laborer with Christ, bringing souls back to God by representing in actions the character of God, which has been misrepresented, falsified by Satan. We aim too low. We are hesitating, doubtful. In self-esteem, we can do nothing. Caution is needed. But while some of the workers are guarded and make haste slowly, if there are not united with them in the work, those who see the necessity of being aggressive, very much will be lost. Opportunities will pass, and the opening providence of God will not be discerned. When persons who are under conviction are not brought to make a decision at the earliest period possible, there is danger that the conviction will gradually wear away. When the truth is preached, there should be wise, understanding workers, men and women who commune with God, who derive wisdom from the source of all power to make personal efforts for those who are under conviction. Here is the trouble with people in England. They move so slowly that the decision essential for them to make must be urged home without unnecessary delay. Let every speaker and everyone who believes the truth show by their actions that they are not children tossed to and fro, but men and women who thoroughly believe that they have saving truth. Frequently, when a congregation is at the very point when the heart is prepared for the Sabbath question, it is delayed through fear of the consequences. This has been done, and the result has not been good. God has made us depositaries of sacred truth. We have a message, a saving message, which we are commanded to give to the world, and which is pregnant with eternal results. To us as a people has been committed light that must illuminate the world. The work has moved slowly in England. Unbelief has exerted its power to retard the work in various ways. Satan is doing his utmost to barricade the way, and not all who are engaged in the work have a decided wholeness for God, so that he can use them as chosen vessels. It is a serious matter when there is not a thorough consecration of heart, mind, and the whole being to God, so that the strong human will is submerged in the will of God. Self has had much to do with the work. If self had been hid in Christ, the workers would have submitted their individual plans to God, would have moved in his way. Oh, if those who believe the truth in England had the spirit of Christ, feeling the peril of souls, what a work would be done wholly in his name. There would be much earnest prayer ascending to God, not merely in public service, not only from the secret chamber, but there would be unceasing prayer combined with determined action. Ask our brethren in England who are brought together in church capacity, what are you doing for your neighbors? What are you doing for your friends and relations? You need to be in earnest communion with God. Everyone should exercise self-denial to save something to invest in the work of saving souls. Oh, if all could see the shortness of time and the vigilant working of the relentless foe to secure all souls possible to himself, how earnestly and wholeheartedly would each one labor. They would feel an intensity of desire to win souls to Christ. I restrain the deep feelings of my soul, knowing that you have difficulties to meet, prejudices and customs to overcome. But I plead for the souls for whom Christ has died. You are not to labor as though by your human efforts alone you must carry forward the work. Go forward, knowing that as you press forward by faith, the obstacles will be removed. Brethren in England, you have not asked enough. You have moved too slowly. Work as in the fear of God, praying and working, and constantly depending upon God. All heaven is astir. Every believer should be deeply interested to cooperate with God. He does not leave any of you to fight alone. He sends his angels to compose the army. But unless you, my brethren, are constantly looking away from self to your captain for his orders, in place of following your own defective judgment, you will be disappointed. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. His presence, his power, is just what every believer needs, and the chief workers need, by faith and decided action, to inspire confidence and faith in every soul who believes. I hope that none will become discouraged because I speak plainly. There is need of a great deal more faith, and all the entrusted talents must be called into action with an earnestness, a zeal, corresponding to the greatness of the truth to be presented to the people. Let self die. Then everyone will be imbued with the Spirit of Christ to work, not in his own mind or will, but in perfect unity with Christ Jesus. May the Lord come very near to you, that you may be a bright and shining light to those in darkness. Day after day is passing into eternity, bringing us nearer the close of probation. Now we must pray as never before for the Holy Spirit to be more abundantly bestowed upon us, and we must look for his sanctifying influence to come upon the workers, that the people for whom they labor may know that they have been with Jesus and learned of him. We need spiritual eyesight now as never before, that we may see afar off, and that we may discern the snares and gins of the enemy, and as faithful watchmen proclaim the danger. We need spiritual power that we may take in, as far as the human mind can, the great subjects of Christianity, and how far-reaching are its principles. There are many who need faith. They will have to fight the good fight of faith every day, yes, every hour. Emmanuel, God with us. This means everything to us. What a broad foundation does it lay for our faith? What a hope big with immortality does it place before the believing soul? God with us in Christ Jesus to accompany us every step of the journey to heaven. The Holy Spirit with us as a comforter, a guide in our perplexities, to soothe our sorrows and shield us in temptation. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! I beseech our brethren in England to strive for unity, cultivate love, uproot suspicion, envy, jealousy, and the thinking and the speaking of evil. Press together, work as one man. Be at peace among yourselves. I beseech you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to put away everything like spiritual pride and love of supremacy. Become as little children if, when the warfare is ended, you would become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. Read John 17 over and over again. That prayer of our Savior offered to His Father in behalf of His disciples is worthy to be oft repeated and carried in the practical life. This will raise fallen man, for the Lord has promised that if we preserve this unity, God will love us as He loved His Son. The sinner will be saved, and God eternally glorified. Angels and archangels wonder at this great plan of redemption. They admire and love the Father and the Son as they behold the mercy and love of God. There is no feeling of jealousy as this new temple, renewed in the image of Christ, is presented in its loveliness to stand around the throne of God. But my letter must close. I send this to you, Elder Wagoner, for you to make use of it as you shall deem fit. Excerpts from E.G. White Letters Concerning the Work in England. England passed by, our American missionaries, I have been shown, have stepped or passed by old England to labor at much greater disadvantage among those whose language they were not well acquainted with. The work has not been carried forward as evenly as it should have been. While duties are suffering to be done right in our path, we should not reach out and long and sigh for work at a great distance. Not one word of discouragement. There is need for all of our ministers to be careful in regard to the character of the articles they insert in the paper in regard to matters in Europe, speaking as though not much had been done in Europe. Now, my brother, I do not think I could truthfully say this, for I consider that under the circumstances, since Elder Blank's death, there has been a good work done in Europe. I think Professor Coons has not brought a good report, and I think your letters have not given very much courage to send means to support the missions. I think even in England a good work has been done. It must be acknowledged to be a hard and trying field, and not one word of discouragement ought to be spoken. The Lord is at the helm, and if we do not trust in Him to work, naught will be done. There is a good beginning made. Publications have been, and still are, doing a good work. Let not one grain of unbelief be sown, for unless we keep a brave front, we cannot expect to inspire others with courage. I am telling everything I can in relation to the mission that will inspire confidence. When I think how slowly the work has gone in New England, and how little done in Massachusetts and Maine and many other places where they have all circumstances in their favor, we need not be discouraged in regard to Old England. The same amount of labor expended on Old England in a wise manner will produce, I believe, good results. May the Lord work is my prayer. And let us look at every token of good. Acknowledge all the Lord has done with grateful hearts. Because you do not see the same results in Old England that you did in Australia, you should not demerit that which has already been gained. There are some precious souls in Grimsby, in Ulsaby, and others will be gathered in. There are some good souls in Southampton, and the brother I met at Brother Jones's, and the few who are connected with him are, I judged, good material. Because they do not see every point just as we do, requires wisdom in treating their cases, that we should unite wherever we can and not make the breach any greater between us. Sister Griffith, I believe, will come to the front if wise management is exercised in her case. Such ones must not be left indifferently, but efforts should be made to bring them into the noble truth. We want that woman as a worker. All such talent, we must understand the faculty of winning to the truth. It is a nice work to hunt up the sheep and to make every exertion to bring them in. It will take time to rid them of all their strange ideas and erratic views, but we must be patient and not drive them from us. God is working with them, and as I look over the past, I see discouragements just as great that we have had to master and still have to contend with as in old England, notwithstanding the caste of society and the difficulties to reach the higher classes. Now, my brother, be of good heart, and notwithstanding the work may move slowly, nevertheless it moves. Thank God for that. Through simple means. We received and read your letter with interest. We feel very sad that your health has not been good. We do not cease to pray for you and for brother and sister Ings. We have not lost our faith in you or in the work in England. We know that there is a great work to be done. The Lord has revealed to us that by the most simple means he can do wondrously, as in the casting down of the walls of Jericho. His people, then, were to do as he told them, and God would do the rest. God so planned it that his name should receive all the glory. The same God is willing to work by whom he will. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We need faithful Calebs in the work at this time. We need Jesus, the captain of the Lord's host, to be with us. We need to follow his directions and to have faith in him. We are fighting with unseen foes, more formidable than giants. It is hard to conquer the devil. He cannot be overcome with any weapon save the sword of the Spirit. Oh, that there were a larger number who would speak for Jesus anywhere and always act for him. Aggressive warfare called for? I have been very desirous that you should visit us in Australia again. It would be pleasing to us if, for a time, you could stand as principal of our school. I have hoped that this might be. But again, I have desired that you might stand in the school at Battle Creek. Then, Europe, with all its necessities, has come before me, and I have kept quiet, believing that you are in the place where you are most needed. England has had few enough laborers. It is a place where those who labor need to push at every step. You need to act as if you meant that something should give way and move. Aggressive warfare alone will prove successful. I am really pleased that you are there, and yet I would be so glad could you have carried our school through one term, if no more. God help you is my most earnest prayer. Present Truth is an important paper, and you are at home in working as best you can with that. The Lord would have advance moves made in England. He desires that a school shall be established there, and this no one can do as well as yourself. Time is short, and that work which is essential must be done quickly. Satan has seen this, and he has worked with his deceptive, intriguing power to entangle everything in America, so that the work that you and others could and should have done has been made impossible. And the work which should have been done in England has been blocked by the very same power that has swayed things in America, the wisdom of men disconnected and out of touch with the wisdom of God, the spirit of arbitrary authority which has manifested itself so decidedly in America has not been confined to that country, but has extended its power to leaven other countries. I am afraid of the men who have moved like blind men. The cause and work of God demands men who will attend to the work God has given them. And had this been the case, men would have listened to the counsel of God, and not to the wisdom of fools, wise only in their own conceits. Handicapped for want of facilities. Every soul of the Wessels family may win eternal life, but they need to get away from their associates in Africa and enter different society. You speak of England. Do not encourage yourself to think that this place is the best place for you to begin your work. Nothing is prepared there at present. We have been at work here for 7 years, and have been handicapped and unable to do that which should have been done for want of facilities. We now have earnest workers who have a holding influence, and we say, Australia is all ready for advance moves. It will not now take years to break down the prejudice. There is great need just now of a sanitarium, and a favorable location for the erection of a sanitarium proper. If you were on the ground today, you could take in the situation. Already 2 offices have been secured in Newcastle, a field where the standard was not lifted until our camp meeting there. We have assurance that this is the place in which to work now. England is the hardest field, the very hardest part of the Lord's vineyard. Prejudice is strong against anything that turns the people out of old paths into new. Success in the work must cost years of persevering labor. Something must be done in that country with means from our own people, and something will be done. But now God would have the work established in this field, Australia, which is ripe for the harvest. He would have memorials raised among his people here, in the shape of sanitariums and schools, to give to the work a character proportionate to its unspeakable importance. Then, when we have obtained a standing here, when we have facilities with which to advance, we can prepare workers to carry the same work to England. Released February 5th, 1987.